Psalm 119, starting in verse 33, it says this. Instruct me, O Lord, O Yahweh, in the way of your statutes, that I may observe it to the end. Cause me to understand, that I may observe your law, and keep it with all my heart. Cause me to walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Cause my heart to incline to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Cause my eyes to turn away from looking at worthlessness and revive me in your ways. Cause your word to be established for your slave as that which produces fear for you. Cause my reproach, which I dread, to pass away. For your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. I think this is an appropriate section of Psalm 119 as we think tonight about prayer as a spiritual discipline. You notice this is a prayer to the Lord, isn't it? And look at all the things that he's praying for. He's asking things of the Lord. Verse 33, instruct me. And notice how many times he said, cause me. Verse 34, 35, and 36, and 37, 38, and 39, cause me. Does your translation of the Bible have a different word than cause, C-A-U-S-E?
Turn.
Give me. Lord, if I'm going to have these things, you have to do it in me. Turn me. The innermost part of who I am, I need your help, Lord, to turn that, to cause it, to give me these things to me. So it's appropriate now as we begin asking these things to be true of us, for us as well, to follow the example of the psalmist and to pray these things to the Lord. So let's pray together. O Father and Lord, we pray that you would instruct us. Lord, we know our heart, how slow it is, how often cold it is. And so we pray with the psalmist, Lord, you would cause us to be changed from the inside out, that you would help us to walk in your ways, that we would be inclined to you. We pray that these things that we're learning, they would be established in us, as the psalmist prayed. And we pray, Lord, that you would, in our affections, our hearts, that we would long for your precepts to be taught and to be led by you. We entrust this hour to you now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as we are thinking tonight about the spiritual disciplines, we're thinking about prayer. And we're going to think about prayer. And at the end of our time, if we have any remaining time, we'll talk a bit about journaling as well. So as we think about prayer, let me hear from you. Let me ask you, why don't people pray more? What are your thoughts? Why don't people pray more? We presume we can do it. We don't think we need God's help. Yeah. We're very forgetful in that sense. Anything else? Why don't people pray more?
We pray more.
Say again?
Unanswered prayers.
Unanswered prayers. What's the point of praying if God hasn't answered us? Yeah. About what you're going to say. We're too busy.
We forget about it until we get too deep in trouble.
Yeah. It's almost as if, guys, I think we need to pray. It's like, oh no, is it that desperate? Has it come to that we have to finally pray? It must be really bad if we have to pray. Well, it may be easy to answer why don't other people pray more, but I'll ask another much harder question, which I'll leave as a rhetorical question. Why don't you pray more? Maybe you don't like to pray. Maybe you don't really feel effective at prayer. I prayed, it didn't get answered, so I guess I'm not a very good prayer. Maybe you're embarrassed by your prayers. Maybe you think, I'm just not a good prayer. I'm not good at this. Other people, I listen to them, and, oh, it's so good, but then I open my mouth and I pray. It's just not what I hoped it would be. Maybe you're tired of saying prayers because you realize you're saying the same old things about the same old things. In your prayers, it feels like you're stuck in a rut. You know, like wagon wheels, they go over and over the mud, and eventually you get this really big rut that you're stuck in. The prayer you prayed at dinner before the meal is the same prayer you prayed at the meal yesterday, and the day before, in the past 5 years. It's the same prayer. If you have little kids and you pray with them at bedtime or at meals, they've probably memorized the prayers you say. Those of you growing up who had moms or dads, you're probably familiar with the prayers they prayed as well. I remember one of my professors in seminary, when he was a new pastor, he had two deacons, and one of the deacons was happy to pray, the other was not. So he learned he got a praying deacon and a not praying deacon. And he would ask one of his praying deacons to close the service, pray, and as the deacon was praying, there was a little kid in the front row who was talking and making noise. He's like, what is going on? Who is this kid? Why is he talking? And they realize that's the son of the deacon, and he was saying out loud the same prayer his father was praying, because his father was in the habit of praying for the same old things, saying the same old things about the same old things. Well, tonight what I want to talk about is prayer and praying the Bible. It may surprise you to know that the people in the Bible read the Bible, and even prayed the Bible. So if you have your copy of Scripture, let's look at Matthew chapter 27. Start by looking in Matthew 27, verse 46. As we think about examples Scripture gives us of prayer, so we want help, we want some guidance as we think about our prayers. So Matthew 27, Matthew 27, verse 46. Could someone read that for us once you find it? Matthew 27, verse 46.
About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah. Thank you for rising for the challenge to speak out loud Aramaic. I appreciate it. So we have Matthew 27, 46. And does anyone know where this comes from? He's saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Maybe you even have a footnote in your scripture. Where is this from? He's quoting Psalm 22. Verse 1, during his crucifixion. So in his hour of need, our Lord prayed the Psalms. The word of the psalmist became his words as well in his need. And if you ever have a chance to read through Psalm 22, it's a messianic psalm that our Lord took for himself and used these words to support him. It gave words for his suffering. And even at the end of Psalm 22, there's the hope that the Lord is going to save him. Or let's turn to Luke 23. Let's look at Luke chapter 23. 23:46. Once you find that, would someone read that out loud? Luke 23:46.
Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation.
Let's see, is that chapter 23? Yeah, 23:46 of Luke.
Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last.
Good. And those of you with Bible, maybe with footnotes or references, where is that a quote from? That's right, Psalm 31, and it's verse 5. So again, our Lord, in his hour of need, he's, in his human mind, thinking through passages of Scripture. And thinking back to our meditation and memorization, he didn't have a copy of God's Word in front of him. No one's holding up a scroll for him to read this. Where was he getting this from? He had meditated on Scripture. He had even memorized Scripture as well. And he's taking the words of Scripture and using them as his prayers for the Lord, to the Lord. And now let's jump ahead to Acts chapter 4. Acts 4, verses 23 and 24. Once someone finds that, if you read it, Acts 4, 23 and 24.
When they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Master, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them.
Good. And those of you with references and footnotes in your copy, do you see if that's a quote from somewhere? Where's that from? That's a little later in verse 25, but verses 23 and 24, it might be more of an allusion. I don't know how many.
146.
Yeah, it's Psalm 146, verse 6 that they're quoting there. And then someone read verse 25 for us, 25 and 26 of Acts chapter 4. Good, thank you. As was said, this is Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2. So what are we seeing here? We are seeing the people of God as those who meditate and have read and even memorized the Word of God. And then they're taking that and using the words of Scripture to become their own prayers. So they're seeing the events and the people of Scripture as they're reading, as those who followed the Lord, they're taking their words and saying, I'm going through something similar, and I'm going to take their words and use it for my devotion, for my worship and prayer for the Lord. And so we're not the first ones to discover this, to take the Bible and to pray the Bible. In fact, even in church history, there's many examples of this. I'll give a couple of recent ones. Robert Murray McChaney, if you're familiar with him or his Bible reading plan, he was a 19th century Scottish pastor. And this is what he said, turn the Bible into prayer. He says, this is the best way of knowing the meaning of the Bible and of learning how to pray. Or someone recent you might know, Joni Erickson Tada, if you're familiar with that name. Here's what she has said, which I find helpful. She said, I have learned to season my prayers with the Word of God. It's a way of talking to God in His language, speaking His dialect, as it were, using His vernacular, employing His idioms. This is not a matter of simply divine vocabulary, she says. It's a matter of power. When we bring God's word directly into our prayers, we're bringing God's power into our praying. Hebrews 4:12 declares, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. So she writes, God's word is living, and so it infuses our prayers with life and vitality. God's word is also active, injecting energy and power into our prayer. Another person in church history you might be familiar with, George Mueller. Have you heard of that name? So George Mueller, in England, 1930s to 1950s or so, even later, he founded an orphanage for boys and then later an orphanage for girls. But he had a habit of writing down his prayers and keeping a journal, because he wanted God to receive more glory for answering prayer. And he wanted to declare how good the Lord is, to help people with their faith, to trust him. It's been said Mueller had 50,000 documented answers to prayer, 30,000 of which were answered the same day. And one of the things Mueller said was, pray in very specific ways. That way you know God answered that prayer. There was one time when the orphanage, the furnace in the winter, it went out. It had to be completely replaced. And where they were situated, it was like, you know, almost a 4-hour, it would take 4 hours to get from the nearest largest city to them. And so it was in the winter, and it just so happened, well, he prayed for all these things. He prayed that, Lord, would you fix the furnace quickly? Would the workers have a willingness to work? And Lord, be gracious to us without this furnace heating our building. And so what happened was, when the workers came to fix it, it was a really warm, sunny day, so they didn't even need the boiler that day because it was so warm and the sun was shining. Number two, when it was, you know, getting close, and the foreman said, you know, pack up all your stuff. We got to go home. We have to finish it tomorrow. And the worker said, it's such a long journey. We would prefer to stay as late as possible, fix the boiler in one day, and then go home perhaps in the morning. So it's like Mueller had like five specific prayers about the boiler, and God answered all of them. It's really just amazing. But if you pray in vague, sort of general ways, how would you know if the Lord answered your prayer? So he says, pray as specifically as possible so that God would receive more glory, so that people would know he answered your prayer. But his prayer life, you might be surprised, used to be really dry. George Mueller didn't like to pray at one point in his life. He says praying used to be such a chore for him. But then something changed. So here's what he writes in his diary. He says, the difference then between my former practice and the present one is this. Formerly, when I rose in the morning, I began to pray as soon as possible and generally spent all my time till breakfast in prayer, or almost all the time. At all events, I almost invariably began with prayer. But what was the result? I often spent a quarter of an hour, or even half an hour, or even a whole hour on my knees before being conscious to myself of having derived comfort, encouragement, humbling of the soul, etc. And often after having suffered much from wandering of mind, for the first 10 minutes, or quarter of an hour, even half an hour, I only then really began to pray. But then later he writes this, I scarcely ever suffer now in this way, for my heart, being nourished by the truth, being brought into experiential fellowship with God, I speak to my Father and to my friend about the things he has brought before me in his precious word. It often now astonishes me that I did not sooner see this point. So in the words of Mueller, what changed? What did he do differently? Say again? Yeah, he found something specific to pray about in God's word. So instead of just, as it were, going to prayer dry and just starting immediately, he first opened his word, read it, meditated on it, and then, as it were, had something to talk about with the Lord as he saw in the word. The Lord brought something to him in his precious word, and then he began speaking about the things he saw in the word. So in other words, he opened his Bible and spoke to God about the things he read in the Bible. And he said after that, his mind didn't wander. He felt he could speak to God as to a friend, His heart was first nourished. That's what he said. For my heart being nourished, I then was brought into experiential fellowship with God. Then he felt free to speak to God about these truths. And then he could thank God for them. He could pray for the things he read to be true in his own life as well. So tonight, as we think about prayer as a spiritual discipline, I want to give you encouragement and I want to give you some help. So first of all, the encouragement, because discipline without direction is drudgery. Here's the encouragement. Here's the direction. The Lord wants to hear you pray. The Lord wants to hear you pray. Now, how do I know that? Because in his word, he's asked you to pray. He wouldn't ask for something that he didn't want and desire to see in your life. More than that, he invites us to pray. More than that, he enables you to pray by his Holy Spirit he's given to you. He gives us a desire to pray through the Spirit. And even more than that, he gives us help to pray in his word. And so if you're discouraged by your prayers, if you're embarrassed by your prayer life, the problem is not with you. The problem's with your method. The problem is probably that you've been praying the same old things about the same old things. Now, someone who's written so well on this topic is Don Whitney. And he's written a book just called Praying the Bible. I recommend that as a resource. It's very short. I think it's like 90 pages long. It's a great book, Praying the Bible. He was my professor in seminary. I've read his works. A lot of what I'm telling you tonight is just from him, his lectures, and his written works as well. So Don Whitney, in his book, Praying the Bible, he says, well, first of all, before we get to the solution, how we think about not praying the same old things about the same old things, he wants to encourage us. He says, praying the same, or rather praying about the same old things is actually normal. There's nothing wrong with praying about the same old things. The problem is we're praying the same old things about the same old things. So pray for the same old things. Pray for your family. Pray for your future. Pray for your finances. Pray for your work or vocation. Pray for matters of Christian concern. Someone in your church is having surgery. And pray for the current crisis. If you're not in a current crisis, you'll be in one eventually. But those are all the same old things. It's good. It's normal to pray about the same old things. These are the areas we live and breathe. These things should be prayed for on a regular basis. But the problem is not that you're praying for the same old things. It feels like you're not really praying anymore. You're just saying the same old words about it. You're stuck in a rut. Well, I believe God wants you to have a rich, meaningful prayer life. More than that, you are able to have a rich, meaningful prayer life. You don't have to have the gift of prayer to do this. That's not a real spiritual gift. Well, maybe it is in some people. They're real prayer warriors. But it's not as if, well, I'm not gifted in it. I don't have to do it that much. I believe the Lord calls all sorts of people to be Christians. And I can say with confidence, based on what the Bible says, he wants all Christians to pray. So all sorts of people are called. Therefore, all sorts of people can pray. So you can do this. This is within your grasp. So what I'm going to teach you tonight is something we all can do, from the littlest child to the oldest scholar. So here's the secret. This is what this is all about tonight. The one thing that this whole class is about. When you pray, pray through a passage of Scripture. Particularly a psalm. The psalms are particularly good for this. Pray through a passage of Scripture. And so the Psalms are particularly good because it's really a whole book of prayers. It's going to teach you how to pray. It's going to shape you. It's sort of like, as it were, training wheels. It's going to guide you when you don't know what to say. So, for example, let's turn to Psalm 23. I want to show you how this could work. Let's see, do we all have Bibles tonight? It's okay if you don't. Just let me know. I think there's one or two extra copies up here. We all have a copy of God's Word here. If not, wave a hand. Please let me know, because we will all need copies of God's Word. Do you need one? Got it? Y'all got a copy of the Word? Okay. Well, let's look at Psalm 23 together. So here's what we do. You, and I'll even write this up on the board, just so this is extra clear. So what we want to do, we want to, number one, we want to read the verse. And number two, what we want to do is pray what comes to mind. I don't want to insult your intelligence, but I just want to make it extra clear. This is not too hard. Read the verse, and then you pray whatever comes to mind. Pray everything you can think of. Pray until you can't say anything else. So everything we talked about last week about meditating on Scripture, sort of squeezing the verse for all the nutrition you can get out of it, this is just the next step in that. So do all that work, but then turn those thoughts into prayer to God. So you look at the words of, say, verse 1 of Psalm 23. You let it fill up your mind and your heart, and then you pour out all those thoughts back to God. And then, when you think you can't say anything else about verse 1, any guess of what you do? That's right. You go to the next verse. Or, you know, depending on the psalm, depending on how the thought is formed, you may have to read like verses 1 to 3 all together, if it's like one complete thought. Whatever makes sense for the passage of Scripture you're reading. And so all of those things we should be praying about, the same old things, you don't have to pray for them in the same old ways. You can take the words of Scripture and then pray for the same old things in new ways, in ways you probably have never thought about or prayed for. And then Don Whitney says, I'll quote from his book, he says, you can continue praying in this way until either one, you run out of time, or number two, you run out of psalm. And if you run out of psalm before you run out of time, you simply turn the page and go to the next psalm. Don Whitney says this, by so doing, you never run out of anything to say. And best of all, you never say the same old things about the same old things. I love what Don Whitney says here. He says, so basically, what you're doing is taking the words that originated in the mind and heart of God, you circulate them through your own heart and mind, and then give them back to God. And he says, by this means, his words become the wings of your prayers. So, for example, let's see if I want to do this now. Okay, so here's what it could look like. Psalm 23. It says, a psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You just think all the thoughts you could think about that. You could say, Lord, I thank you that you're my shepherd. Lord, I thank you how you have been the shepherd of all the people in the Old Testament, of Moses, of David. You are the God who heard the prayers of Jesus, my Lord. You, Lord, have watched over all your people, and thank you, Lord, that you're my shepherd. Lord, sometimes I admit it feels that you're so far away from me, but help me to believe this, that you're my shepherd. Thank you, Lord, that you're my shepherd. Lord, forgive me for thinking you're my boss and you give me hard commands. Lord, you're my shepherd. You've watched over me. And as David says, I shall not want. And Lord, as I think back on my life, I don't think I've ever been in want, and that's because of you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, would you continue to be my shepherd? Be the shepherd of my wife and my kids. You pray about the same old things. I pray for my family. I pray for my future. Lord, I'm so doubtful. But help me to believe. You're going to watch over me, all the steps of my life. Lord, I'm so worried about this. And I pray for so-and-so who's in the hospital. Be their shepherd. Provide for them. Watch over them. You say as many thoughts as you can possibly think, and then go on to verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Lord, my soul's been so troubled. Lord, I pray that I could experience this quiet and this peace. Lord, you give the best to your servants. Would you help me to lie down to experience this? Verse 3, Lord, would you restore my soul? Would you give me wisdom to know how to walk in the paths of righteousness? This situation at work, I don't know what walking in the path of righteousness looks like. I pray that you would lead me, guide me. Help me to know how I can honor you so I can live my life for your sake. That's what I care most about. So Lord, help me not to be afraid of other people's opinions. Lord, help me to live for your glory. So many people in my life, Lord, they're big and you are small. I pray, Lord, that they would be small and you would be big. And you can just on, everything you can think about. You know, even if, you know, this may seem silly, but Don Whitney gives the example of, what if I'm reading the psalm, Lord, if you should mark iniquities, and I think about my friend Mark, what do I do? Pray for Mark. That's okay. That's not what the verse is about. But whatever comes to mind, use it as your guide. And usually, you know, as you're reading these things, you're also kind of meditating and thinking, and hopefully you're praying according to what it's saying. So, you know, you're trying to rightly interpret the psalm as well. Now, there's 150 psalms, so you might be thinking, okay, that sounds neat, David. Which psalms do I pray? Well, something you can do is called the Psalms of the Day. Has anyone heard of that before, that phrase, the Psalms of the Day? So I'll do some math. So there are 150 psalms, and there are roughly 30 days in a month. So how many psalms per day? 150 divided by 30 is? 5, that's right. So there are 5 psalms of the day. So something you could do, you don't have to read all 5, but what's today's date? What's the day of the month?
16th.
It's the 16th, is that correct? 17th, no, we don't know. It can be whatever number we want. 17, okay. So what are the 5 psalms of the day for today? Well, the first one is Psalm 17. And then you add 30 to the number. So add 30. 47. Add another 30. 77. Add another 30. 107. And then add another. Wait, what? Not 107. Yeah, 107, right? That's what he said. 107. Then add another 30 for 137. So these are the 5 psalms of the day. So something you could do, if today is the 17th, you can quickly skim those 5 and see maybe one of them might be, you know, don't spend, you know, the whole time just reading 5 psalms. Although that's not bad. But you can pick one of these, skim through, see what might be maybe appropriate for your life. One of them you might see is like, oh, it's a deprecatory psalm. So 137 is a deprecatory psalm. God, you know, I won't even quote it. You know, I don't want it to be. It's the most extreme of all the deprecatory psalms. God, kill my enemies. One of those psalms. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to spend some time praying the psalms individually, silently, as a class. Because if I were to say a few other things and then dismiss the class, what you'll probably do is think, well, that's interesting. I like what David said tonight. One of these days, I'll do that. And then one of these days will never come. So here's what I want you to do to apply this. This is why you need your own copy. Everyone's got a copy, right? We are going to pray for 7 minutes silently where you are. If you can't feel that, you can do it here. You can sit out in the hall. That's fine. We're going to pray for 7 minutes together silently one of the Psalms of the day. I encourage you, not 137, unless you want to just pray for the death of your enemies or something like that. But one of these Psalms, 17, 47, 77, or 107. So in your Bibles now, flip through, skim one of them. Don't spend the whole 7 minutes just reading all four, but find one, pick one, commit to it. And we're going to spend 7 minutes praying silently together. I'll watch my phone. I'll tell you when we're done. Yes, we're going to actually do this. All four of the Psalms, I've looked at them. They're all good. So we're going to pray together and just spend the time slowly reading, thinking, meditating, praying over these, one of these four Psalms. Okay? Clear? Any questions of general concern or clarity before we begin? Okay. Well, I'll give you 7 minutes. We're going to pray through the Psalms silently together for one of these now. Okay, good. That's our time. Let's gather back together. All right, talk to me. How many of you could have gone longer? Most of you, yeah. How many of you finished your Psalm? Only two of you, three maybe. Good. Good. Well, talk to me. Did your mind wander?
No, I picked a psalm that really talked to me.
You picked a psalm that really talked to you. Yeah, how many of you felt that your psalm spoke exactly to your situation that you're going through right now? About half of you. Good. Good.
It does make you think, though, about situations that could come up that you're thinking about.
So every word's a cross reference, it seems, that leads you to other verses. There's a whole theology behind each word. So you have plenty of fuel to pray for. God said, if you, like David says, always gets me when he says that, you know, answer me according to my righteousness. I'm like, well, thank you for imputed righteousness.
Yeah, yeah.
In my things like that.
Reading the Bible every year like you're supposed to. I don't remember reading this verse, but it talked to me.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Even though we've read it, you know, it can hit us afresh and feel like I've never read this before. You know, it's an infinite treasure, God's word. How many of you realize your prayers were more about God and less about you? Yeah, usually our prayers of, here's my laundry list, Lord. Here's all the things that I need you to do for me. How did reading and dwelling in one of the Psalms sort of change that whole outlook? Focused on God?
You're praising God.
Yeah, it leads you more to praise God. So a really great acronym that maybe you've heard before, ACTS, four different sort of elements of prayer. You can adore the Lord. There's adoration, just praising him for who he is. There's confession of sin in light of who he is. There's thanksgiving. Lord, thank you that you have provided for me, my needs. And then there's supplication. We're asking for supply. Meet my needs. Now, of all the four, you know, elements, what tends to be the one we pray the most? Supplication. Yeah, but there's other elements of prayer that the Psalms are going to help lead you into, to adore God for his character, to confess your sin, to thank him for how he has already met your needs, for who he is, praising him for his wondrous deeds, as well as asking for help as well. How many of you felt that the things you prayed, you had greater assurance that you were praying God's will? Yeah, the psalm has a great way of guiding and shaping our prayers so that when we pray, we know this is what the Lord wants for me. And so in Psalm 77, it was talking about the psalmist reminding himself, will the Lord reject forevermore? Has his loving kindness ceased forever? And it ends with, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And so thinking about how good it is to remember the things the Lord has done. And if he's done it for them, will he not be faithful to me? So, Lord, help me to believe these things. Lord, cause me to be refreshed again, to have confidence that your loving kindness will not cease. And I know what I'm going through. Your loving kindness will be for me, for your word endures from generation to generation, it says. So Donna Whitney says this. So while it's true that people may use this method and pray about things that are not found in the text, I contend that will happen much less if people pray while reading the text. It's always possible to pray unbiblical, untrue prayers. But Donna Whitney says, by this means, the Spirit of God will use the Word of God to help the people of God pray increasingly according to the will of God. He says, in fact, I would argue it's more likely you'll understand the meaning of the text if you're praying over the text. You're asking for God's help to understand and apply these things. And he is generous, and he will provide. God wants people to understand his word, Dr. Whitney says. And so a final sort of encouragement. God supplies what he requires. He does that in salvation. He has given what he has required. He requires perfect righteousness, and he gave it in his Son. He requires us to worship him, and he's helped us with that, given us his Spirit and his Word. He requires you to pray to him, and he has supplied what you need. Plenty of examples, at least 150 of which, are in the Psalms. Think about the Psalms, all the states of emotions, states of mind of the worshipers, how they were feeling, how they brought their real experiences and emotions to God and their troubled souls. And so if you're troubled, there's guidance and help to know how to bring your thoughts and your troubles to the Lord as well in the Psalms. Well, good. Well, one final thing I want to do before we depart, I want to begin talking about journaling. We'll talk more about this next week and the week after. So I have a handout here, which I'll give it to you at the end of class, because we only got about 5 minutes left, and then we'll close. So we got a handout at the end, written by Don Whitney from his website about journaling. Can't get into all of this, but there are a number of different types of journals, ways, reasons why you would write stuff down. And so something you could do, this is not your homework, but you could, as you're beginning to meditate and think on Scripture, you can begin to write down your insights into the Bible. I do want to commend to you keeping a list of your prayer requests. Begin writing down the things you're praying for and be specific about it. Something else you can begin to journal for we'll talk about this more in the weeks to come, but journal for self-understanding. If you're feeling really strong emotions, it may be good just sit down and begin to write that out. Now, regarding journaling as a spiritual discipline, it's sort of a spiritual discipline. Nothing really obligates a Christian to do this. It's not explicitly commanded in Scripture, but I think it's sort of implied. Like the book of Psalms, they're pouring out their heart to God. You can see their struggles. They're bearing their souls. Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations. So just on the topic of prayer requests and writing these down for tonight, it is a blessing to write down your prayer requests because you can begin to see and list all the ways God has answered your prayers. It's good even to reread old prayer requests, to keep them all maybe in one place in a journal, a spiral notebook, or like a Moleskine journal as well. It's good to see how maybe a year ago, see what you were so worried about, and to think how the Lord was faithful over this past year to meet all those needs. So I would encourage you not to be in such a hurry that you're unable to live an examined life. So don't live an unexamined life and fail to see how abundantly the Lord has provided for you again and again. And so I've been here on staff for 9 years, and before I was here, about 8 months before that, I was praying for a job, prayed that the Lord would provide, and I wrote out 12 specific prayer requests. Lord, you know, what's my dream job? Working at a church. And I listed out 12 specific things. Here's what I would want to see in a job. And one of them was, I want to live close to family, as close as we can. And so I wrote that down, 12 prayer requests, forgot about it, was hired here. 2 months into the job, I was going through old files and I found that list. And I realized the Lord answered all 12 of those prayer requests. And I just sat down, I just cried. I just said, Lord, you're so good. You're so faithful. And we had family living in Little Rock, Houston, and San Antonio at that time. Do you know what cities equal distant between those three cities? Lyndale. It's like we lived exactly as close as we possibly could to all the family we wanted to live close to. It's like the Lord arranged that. It's like it's amazing. Here's what Charles Spurgeon had to say about keeping a prayer journal. He says, I have sometimes said when I have become the prey of doubting thoughts, well now, I dare not doubt whether there be a God, for I can look back at my diary and say, on such a day, in the depth of trouble, I bent my knee to God, and ere I had ever risen from my knees, the answer was given to me. So what's your homework for tonight? You have some homework. Here's what I want you to do. I want you one time this week before we get back together to have a 15-minute prayer session. So just like we did tonight for 7 minutes, at least once before we gather back together, pray uninterrupted for 15 minutes. Get a phone timer, kitchen timer. Don't rely looking at the clock because every 2 minutes you'll be looking up at it, see how much time you have left. So just set a timer, 15 minutes, forget it. Just pray the Psalms, and you can pray one of the Psalms of the day, if that's helpful. And I also want you to try 3 days of journaling. And we're going to talk more about journaling in the next 2 weeks, but just try and attempt 3 different days of journaling. How long do you do it? It's up to you. There's no word count. There's no time limit. So what can you do with this journaling? So as you're reading Bible, you can begin to write down your insights, write down your prayers, write even out your prayers to God, examine your own heart, spend some time sort of digging and getting a shovel and figuring out, you know, what are my hopes? What are my disappointments? What are my frustrations? Treat the page like a counselor. And you'll find you'll often turn your thoughts to God and His Word, and eventually it becomes a prayer. It's like one of the Psalms. You begin out really frustrated. Lord, where are you? In the end, you say, but yet I will trust in your Word, and I know you will revive me one day. So as you keep a journal, I encourage you pen and paper, if possible, rather than trying to write it out on a laptop or on your phone. You can do like, you know, loose leaf sheets of paper together. You can do a spiral notebook or some kind of journal as well. So there's a handout here, more on journaling if you want to read more about that, but we'll talk about it more in the coming weeks. But that's all the time we have. If you want to chat more afterwards, we can. But let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Son. We thank you, Lord, for how he has drawn near to us. And we thank you that by your Spirit, we are able to cry out, Abba, Father. So we thank you for giving us the spirit of adoption, that you've welcomed us into your family, and that we can pray to you as our Father who is in heaven. And you are near to us. We pray that you would meet our needs, and you would draw near to us, Lord. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your attention. I'll see y'all next week.